special event today. This is the first time in, let me see if I can add, after 40 years or more, that this group of people has been to the Florida Folk Festival. This is a group of sacred harp singers from in and around Hoboken, Georgia, a small community just east of Waycross and on the outskirts of the Okefenokee Swamp. And the tradition, the sacred harp tradition, is one, of course, which has been sung around the United States and throughout the Southeast in particular. But the style of sacred harp singing from Southeast Georgia in and around the Okefenokee Swamp is a distinctive one. And the tradition of singing school leaders teaching through singing schools this type of music dates back in the Lee family at least to the 1850s. And David Lee, who is pacing the center of the circle now, is a fifth-generation sacred harp singer and a third-generation singing school leader. And so this musical tradition is related to the special theme of the Folklife area this year of wetlands traditions, in that this is a music tradition which has grown up in and around the Okefenokee in association with primitive Baptist churches, but it has been a non-denominational tradition, a community religious tradition in this area for a good long time. 150 years is a good long time. So what we'll be doing is having an introduction to the tradition and a singing school led by David Lee and perhaps some others of Hoboken, Georgia, until a little bit before noon, and then at noon I'll be back, but please stay for the special sing in honor of Silas Lee, the late singing school leader and song leader from Hoboken, who first brought this group and this tradition to the festival in the late 1950s. So please welcome David Lee. And I think Tolly Lee, is that right? Sorry. Who is a son of Silas Lee. Wasn't.
Just have a singing school, and we're going to talk about the way this singing is structured and the way we sing it, or how you use this in order to sing this music. But just ahead of that, before we do that, I just want to make one or two remarks, and Laura covered part of it, that this style of singing is loosely called shape note singing, but more specifically called sacred harp singing. He gets that name after a Mr. B.F. White that put together a book, and he titled his book Sacred Harp. And that's why we've come to call it Sacred Harp, because his book is the one we've always used. There are many other shape note books out there, but we've used this one for as long as any of us know. And so that's why we call this Sacred Harp singing. It comes after that book, and I've got that title on it. Front of the page with that man's name, and I put a little brief explanation about this down here, but we want to go into a little more detail. The second thing I want to say about this is that this music has been part of our life and part of our culture at home, which is around Hoboken, for not just the Lee family, which there's a bunch of them here today, but for the entire community and for actually that entire region. Now, they mentioned Uncle Silas, and I've heard Uncle Silas tell how he's been down in Florida teaching singing schools, and he's been up around in all over Southeast Georgia in several counties teaching singing schools about how to sing this second harp singing. Prior to him was his father-in-law, Martin Dallin, who also taught singing schools all over those parts, and prior to him was his daddy. And I don't know who was prior to him. That gets back beyond where I can reach. And so with this music having been a part of our way of life all this time, it is in every part of our local and family culture. It's who we are. And even though some of us don't see each other real often, when we do see each other, we immediately understand and recognize references to and about this music, because it was so much a part of who we are. And one of my cousins I was taught, actually an uncle, that said this morning that said he learned how to sing this music at his mama's knee as a young little boy coming up. And that's how the majority of us learned it. We went to singing school, and they taught us at singing school, but the majority of this music we learned at our mama's and daddy's knee at home coming up. In many cases, we learned to sing before we ever learned to read. So we learned the words to some of these songs before we knew how to read them on the page. So we learned, so the book comes second, but we'll talk about the book. The first thing, I said it's called shape note singing. There are four shapes that we use. If you look on the back of this thing right here at the top, very top section up there, we got the four shapes listed and named. That first one is a triangle, we call it a mi. The first one's a diamond, call it a mi. The next one is a triangle, and we call it a fa. Move that out of the way and sit down there. The next one is the round one, we call a sol, and the last one is a square that we call a la. So we got mi and fa, sol, and la. And that's how we pronounce those names. Now, this music is written, and I'm not a musician. I do understand this music, but I'm not a musician, so some of what I say might not make no sense. But we sing, our music is based on an octave or a scale of eight notes. And that scale is listed right here in this next section where you see those eight notes, and I've got them. I've got the shapes there, and I've got the numbers, and I've also got the note names written under them. So the eight notes of that octave start off note number one, which is a fa, note number two is a sol, and then a la, and so forth up this octave. Now, this is how these songs are constructed. The songs that are in this book all come off of this scale. So any song that's in this book will be on this scale. The songwriter wrote them songs by just skipping around on this scale. He picks any note on this scale and then picks the next one. It all comes right off of those eight notes. So if you learn these eight notes, you can sing any song in the book. As soon as we talk about how to beat time. So this is the first element of how to sing this music is pitch. And that's what we learned from this scale right here is how to sing the pitch. And so what we want to do is we're going to sing the pitch. We're going to sing this scale together so everybody can get this pitch in their ear and hear it and understand it. And then when we start singing these songs, you'll see that every song you sing comes right off of this scale right here, one way or another. So what I want to do is let's sing the scale together. We're going to sing it by the numbers. And we're going to sing it up and then back down. Now everybody sing out big and strong so everybody can hear and understand and learn how to sing this thing. And then once we do that, we'll probably do the note names. We'll try that a time or two. Sing the scale now.
One, two, three.
Note name.
Fa, sol, la, fa, sol, la.
the scale in order up and down. Here's the next thing we want to do is let's skip a note. So we're going to sing the note number one, and let's sing it by the numbers. We're going to sing note number one, and then three, and then five, and then eight. So we're going to skip some of those notes. But you watch it go up the scale, and you'll see how it does it, okay?
One, three, five.
Sounds like it does when we sing it. We're going to do this same thing, but we're going to do these four notes in parts, and everybody's going to hold their part, okay? So I'm going to give the bass singers note number one. I'm going to give the alto note number three, and then I'm going to give you tenor singers out here note number five, and then you'll take note number eight. And let's hold it so you can hear the harmony. Now remember, this is the same four notes we just sung, but you'll see how it sounds when we put them all together, okay?
One, three.
You sing it, it's going to be exactly the same interval. Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. Same interval between each note. So this scale will always be the same. So you can always sing together on any song that you sing. You can sing together, which is the only way it's going to sound good. It won't sound very pretty if we're all singing a different note, just wildly and randomly. So we've got to be singing together. And that's what these notes will do, is keep us on the same pitch, which is half of it. The other half of it is timekeeping. Not only is it important that we sing the same note at the same pitch, but we got to hold it for the same amount of time before we go to the next note. So timekeeping is the second part of what we do. We've got pitch and time. If you'll learn those two things, you won't have to worry about nothing else. The rest of it will just come natural. Timekeeping is like this. We measure time in beats. And that can be slow beats, real slow, or it can be fast. We're measured in beats, and what we do is take, in order to keep up with it, we take those beats and we put them in groups. We put them in groups of two, or four, or groups of six, or groups of three. And depending on how we group those beats is what will determine partly how the song comes out sounding. Now the first mode of time, and I've got it listed on the front, you can read about it. But the first mode of time we talk about is what we call common time, and that is either two or four beats per measure. Common time is just straight ahead timekeeping. Some people can describe it as being marching time because it's just regular. We're going to demonstrate some of this in a minute. But the two over two or four over four is beat in a steady one, two, one, two. And we keep time this way. Four beats is the same thing. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. And that's just straight ahead. And when you get to the end of one group of beats, you go to the next group, and the next group as you go through the song. Same thing with two over four, four over four. That's common time. The second mode of time that we observe is compound time. In compound time, we sing in groups of six beats. Some people sing it in groups of two, but what they're doing is using six beats but accenting the first and the fourth beat. Right? We keep it in groups of six individual beats, but it's still that group. Some people refer to this as jig time, whatever that means. Jigging to me is what you do in the river. But jigging to other people, I understand they can do it to six beats. And I guess I could if I had a good singer on the line, you know, keep it up. But anyhow, so the way that works is in six beats is one, two, three, four, five, six. One, two, three, four, five, six. That's six beats per measure. You can do that same thing in the two beats I talked about, and this is the real jig time, is when you do one, two, three, four, five, six. One, two, three, four, five, six. Both of that is six beats to the measure, and it both sings. If they sound different, you can take the same song and beat them one way or the other way, and they'll sound different, so it becomes a matter of preference, but both of it is called compound time. The third mode of time is triple time. And some people refer to this as waltz time. Triple time is three beats per measure, and we measure it one, two, three. One, two, three. Each song that we sing will use one or the other mode of time. Some songs we sing will use more than one mode of time in the same song. Some of them will change times when we're singing and go from common to compound, or from compound to triple back to compound or to common or whatever. They'll change as they go through the song. And when you understand these three modes of time, it's fairly easy to stay up with it. Now, in keeping those groups of beats, I'm just going to briefly mention this and pass right on through it, because I don't want to get too deep and too complicated. This section I got right here on the yellow paper gives all the different sizes of notes. The top one has a whole note. A whole note is equal to two half notes, which is equal to four quarter notes, and so forth. Eighth notes and 16th notes. And we can't sing 32nd notes. We just can't talk that fast. So we don't generally run into them. And I've even seen 64th notes, but you don't get to see them long. Those things are going in a hurry. You got to read quick. So when you see those notes, it means exactly what it says. If you hold in 4 over 4 in common time, you would hold a whole note for 4 beats. That means that you would only hold a half note for 2 beats, because it takes 2 half notes to equal a whole. And on the quarter notes, you would only hold them for 1 beat each, because it takes 4 of them to equal that whole note, which is 4 beats. On a 4 over 4, or on common time. So that's about all we want to say about that, so we don't get too complicated. You got all my books out there with you? Rachel, I brought them all over the chair and set them down by that box over there. I don't know where they're at. What we want to do is, what we need to do here is demonstrate a few of these songs. Turn to 348 on the top. Those of you that's got books, you ain't slide up and look on somebody. I brought all 5 of our books and set them down over there. Probably 348 on the top.
Are you gonna go on me?
Yeah, if you're using the other book, 354 on the bottom.
It should be in your index.
Somebody must have. Alright, 348 on top. Now we do one other thing in Hoboken that they don't do nowhere else that we can find, and I don't know why, but we walk time. We We walk time to the music when we're, our leader is leading, walk time, and that's what we're going to be doing today. Walking time to it. We're going to do just like we was taught to do, just like we always done. 3:48 on the top. Repeat on the first part. We'll leave the repeat off of the last. Probably just sing one verse and see how it sings. Might sing too. Triple takes the first sound, tenor and alto together, and bass below. Let me get myself oriented here.
Bye.
on the bottom. 451 on the bottom. This one. Now this one is compound time. This was compound time, so this is that jig time I was talking about. Fisherman using. 451 on the bottom. Triple take, see, wait a minute now. Repeat on the first part, and we have a da capo, which means we go back and sing the first part again after we sing the end. Triple takes the first sound, then the tenor, the bass, and alto below. Turn to 49 on the bottom. We're going to quit here in just a few minutes. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get to. 49 on the bottom. Now this is a triple time. This is the third mode. This is the waltz time we've talked about. And if you notice from common time to compound time, the leader changes the way he walks. The footwork and all the handwork and all that. So that's so everybody will know where we're at. We all walk the same way. Everybody walks time does it the same way, whether it's Clark or Tyler or Danny or Kathy or Julie or whoever it is, Brian, anybody. Triple time is the third mode of time, and it's the third thing we do. 49 from the bottom is the two beat rest to start with. We all take the same sound, except alto is below. Different parts come in at different times. And you can hear one part holding while another part singing and all that. So it's a little bit different, so I wanted to sing it that way on account of that. Alright. Triple takes the first sound. Triple and tenor takes the first sound, bass and alto below. We'll repeat the chorus on the note and the word. We'll sing this a little bit quicker than walking time, please. Okay?
La,
We're going to take a little break until 12 o'clock now. At 12 o'clock, in about 10 or 15 minutes, that's when we're going to do just a regular sing. Almost like we've been doing it, except we'll just keep singing the whole time. And so I want to just leave the chairs like they are, and everybody's going to come back here, and by 12 o'clock, don't get too far, and we're going to sing just right on, song after song, and we're going to sing it the way we was taught to, and we're going to sing songs that we was taught. Now, there's a couple things I need to say. One is, I've got this set up in a circle today, and the reason why, and I want you to know that before we got started at the 12 o'clock thing, is because that's how Silas set it up. He told us that. He set it up in a circle. We're going to be doing that 12 o'clock sing in Uncle Silas's memory, and we'll have other things to say then about that. But I just want you to understand when we start off why we're starting the way we are. Go back to the same parts you're in, treble and the alto and the bass and all and the tenor and all. Y'all go back to your same places. But take just a few minutes break and we'll start back here at 12 o'clock.
Can I just say for those of you